Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Matthew 4:17 said, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Revelation 3:3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Acts 3:19, "Remember ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Oh, my friend, repentance, prayer positions God back on the throne of every decision, every desire, every destination. There are going to be times when you're going to make wrong choices. You're going to trip up on a path of temptation. And if you make a bad decision, repentance is what gets you back on track. There are going to be times that your desires are going to be out of control, but it's repentance that keeps your lusts tamed. There are going to be times when you're going to feel that your destination has been lost, the compass of your spiritual discernment has been broken, but it's repentance that helps you make the right turn. And so when life seems to be going a million miles an hour and the busyness of decisions that have to be made every day, and sometimes the counsel of the ungodly around you, even the counsel that you don't even mean to listen to, it just seems to be in the airwaves or on the radio or maybe in the particular search engines you're doing, particular research and development on your job, and things just happen to be filtering into what you're hearing and thinking, and you might be wondering, well, how can I keep a repentance mindset? Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, a hidden word in the heart takes away the bullseye of weakness to the tempter. Oh, you know that you walk around, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a target on you. They want to see you fall down and break the rules of your truth. They want to see if the anointing in your life is really going to stand up to all of the scrutiny and the sarcasm and the criticism of a sinner's world. They want to see if that redemptive blood has really washed you as clean as you say it has. They want to know if the grace of God in your life is good enough for you to resist the temptations of an ever-evolving world, in the sensations and sinfulness of the things that are offered on the smorgasbord of Satan's buffet, if you will. But if you can understand the Word of God every day, stored in your spirit, put in the inventory of your mind, it helps to control the thoughts, and so that words that are spoken and actions that are done are influenced by the power of the Word of God that's hidden in your heart. Oh, my friend, you may have been robbed recently, but you need to know that the thief is empty-handed when it comes to stealing your core values. When you've got the character of Christ developing in your life, when you have His omnipotence, or His all-powerful hand at work in your life, His omniscience, the knowledge of God, bleeding into your spirit, becoming a part of what you believe every day, when you have that at work and knowing that it's not just a matter of rhetoric and it's not just a matter of evoking certain passions out of who you are as a religious person, but it's in the depth of who you are. It's in the very center of who you are. It's that cross on the middle ground, if you will. It's the voice of the Lord that spoke out of the midst of the burning bush to Moses. It's the three Hebrew children in the middle of the furnace of the fire, so that you know what you have internally can help you face everything that's coming against you on the outside, no matter what the storms are, no matter what stresses of certain losses have brought to your life. You know that no matter what's taken away from you, There is something in the depths of your soul that can never be taken. It's a treasure that's been put there. It's a light that is in the depth of your soul, and it emanates and shines its brightest in the darkest of nights and the dreariest of days. And when you feel that you're trapped in a dungeon of dread and doubt, depression and fear, you know that those core values in you, they're going to strike. They're going to light up. They're going to burn and burgeon like a mighty flame. And that the truth is going to stand. And you're going to be able to endure to the end because you've been given a spiritual stamina because of your relationship with Jesus Christ and the experiences that you've been through. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, but you're being perfected. It doesn't mean that you've arrived, but every step that you take, whether with great swagger or stumbling along, you're getting closer to the trumpet of the Lord and that rapture moment when the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain standing strong, steadfast in what you believe, anchored in the word of God, knowing that Jesus Christ is the bedrock of your faith, knowing that he is the core of everything that you believe, knowing that he is the common denominator of all of the miracles that have ever happened in your life, any good thing that's happened in your life, any sunshine moment, any breakthrough hour, any possibility at joy, any door that swings open to happiness, it's because he's the common denominator. You realize that he is the original energy in your life, at the very power that upholds all the worlds by the word of his power, is also alive and well in you today. It's a part of what holds you together in your core values, and you're not going to break down. And even if you do break down, he's going to help you get back up and make spiritual strides forward, conquering in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, my friend, temptation works best on those tricked into feeling that truth is not satisfying. They would try to make truth to be some bitter pill that you don't want to swallow. It's some nasty food that you've never tasted before and don't even want to try it. But, oh, friend, if you've ever tasted to see that the Lord is good, then you understand that the experience of God deep in your heart, your repentance path, your baptism in the name of Jesus, where your sins were washed away, that moment when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, it puts something deep inside you, hidden in your heart, a truth that can never be taken away from you. And so you realize that no matter how good the temptation looks, whatever you have in truth is better. Whatever you've had in God is what's going to sustain you for the next several days, weeks, months, years, and until the rapture of the Lord takes place, or until you draw your last breath here on earth. You realize that sometimes faith requires you to do the inconvenient thing at a not-so-convenient time, and it's the principles of truth hidden inside your heart that causes you to activate that faith. You might be like the woman at Zarephath when the prophet of the Lord showed up and she was gathering two sticks to make her last meal for her and her boy, and they were going to die right there in the middle of that famine that was taking place in her land. And the prophet of the Lord said, "I want you to make me a meal first." That didn't sound very good. That didn't sound very convenient. But her faith had to be triggered and sparked, and she had to do the inconvenient thing. And somewhere hidden in that prophetic moment was a reality that if she would just simply obey, God was going to take care of them until the famine was over. The barrel of meal would not fail, and the cruse of oil would not run out, because of a simple obedience to trust God. I mean, think about how often the children of God throughout the Bible were asked to do things that seemed absolutely impossible. Gideon taking 300 men to face tens of thousands of Midianite soldiers, and yet in that moment when the earthen pitchers were broken and the glow of those lanterns struck the eyes of the enemies, it caused the enemy to turn on one another, until at that particular moment Gideon didn't even have to raise a sword or strike one soldier down. because God gave them the victory. My friend, you've got something hidden in your heart today that when the challenge comes, when the conflict takes place, when the crisis is at its worst, it will rise up out of your spirit. It'll be a geyser that breaks forth, an artesian anointing that can't be settled down, an eruption like a dormant volcano that will spew forth from your mouth words of praise and prayer and prophecy, knowing that you're going to make it. You're going to conquer what seems to be inconquerable. You're going to be able to take strides on a path that seems to be nothing but a dead end, and all of a sudden it opens up and there's a clearing, all because of what has been activated from the Word of God in a moment of faith hidden in your heart. I read about a fencing contractor was talking with a rich property owner about his chances of going to heaven. The rich man believed that God would be pleased with his efforts, and he said, "I've lived a good life and been hardworking and giving to worthy causes. Sure, I hide some of my income so it doesn't get taxed as highly, but so does everyone else. And in my business, you have to do a bit of lying and cheating, but how else will I get ahead? All in all, I'm okay. I'm a nice person." The conversation ended, and it was time to build the fence. 2 weeks later, the fence was ready, and the property owner came and had a look. He was shocked by what he saw, because there were a number of gaps in the fence. Angrily, he asked, "What have you done?" The fencing contractor replied, "Well, as I was building, I left a few gaps on the way. Don't worry. There's a lot of fence still left, and in some places, I might even have doubled the thickness. The gaps only represent 2% of the fence, but that means 98% is just fine." The rich property owner replied, "98% is okay, but you can be sure that the animals will still find the hole in the fence and get out. Near enough just isn't good enough, and I'll have nothing left to show." At that point, the fencing contractor said, "You can see that truth when it comes to your fence. How come you can't apply the same thing when it comes to your relationship with God?" Oh, my friend, we're living in a generation when so many people are just trying to squeak by, trying to just barely make it. Oh, when you live for God, the scripture says we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you get this treasure hidden in the heart, you don't want to even take a chance that there might be one gap in the favor of God in your life, that there might be one hole for the enemy to be able to take advantage of in your life. And of course, again, that doesn't mean that you and I can be perfect in our flesh, but it means that we give our everything to him. Our failures and our successes, our ambitions and our personal motives, everything that we desire to become, we need him to be at the center of it. And what we have to realize every day is that conviction in the soul is always going to be challenged by the convenience of the moment. But that's where, if you've got that treasure and that truth hidden in the heart, it'll rise up. It will give you resistance power when the tempter shows up. It'll give you a spiritual immunity so that you don't get the sickness of sin that would take your faith unto death. Oh, my friend, get the Word of God in your life today. Make sure that it becomes that lamp under your feet and that light to your path, that regardless of what compromising dialogue comes along, you'll keep your conversation pure before the Lord, that regardless of what salesmen stand on the porch of your heart, if you will, soliciting you to try other things and just take this path in this direction, and you don't have to do that particular thing in your life according to the Word of God, that you slam the door shut, padlock it, bar up the windows, close the blinds, and turn your back and eyes away from anything that would try to detour you or distract you or take you away from that which is hidden in your heart. You see, because when you have truth hidden in your heart, you realize that any old thing that comes along does not whet your appetite. You're not hungry for the things of the world as much as you are for the Word of God. And the hungry seeker spends his time looking for daily recipes of God to feed his soul. And if you think about it, friend, we serve a gourmet God. Why would we settle for the fast food religions of this day? Why would we settle for the quick fix moments of cheapened doctrines that cannot truly satisfy the depths of the soul? Oh, the psalmist said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul for the living God. We look for the rivers of the Holy Ghost. We look for the flow of His presence. And you want the salt of His purposes to be sprinkled on your life. You want the flavors of His perspectives to be in everything that you do, realizing that every ingredient of suffering or success in your life is a part of what will feed your soul in a relationship with God. And we know the world hears plenty of salty words, cleverly construed from intelligence. But what are the burning words of truth springing from deep prayer, springing from the hidden places of the soul? For as the psalmist said in Psalm 42, it's deep that calls unto deep. It's where the sincerity in you finds the sovereignty of God. It's where the pure motive in a man finds the ministry of God's mercy. He's not trying to cheapen it or take an advantage of it or manipulate it to justify his own sinful cravings. He's taken that to the old rugged cross. As Paul said, we die daily. We keep these bodies under subjection because what we have of the supernatural far exceeds anything that we could ever accumulate in the natural. God has given us so many things, and even though you may go through the trial, you have to understand that the destruction of a storm is only the temporary defining moment. What is built next from the fragments, from that which is hidden in the heart, is the everlasting defining moment. I've seen some, when they go through a storm, they allow the stresses of that storm to weaken them, to take away the strength, the joy of the Lord that is their strength. They allow bitterness to creep in and resentfulness to take over. And then suddenly words of righteousness are traded for rebellious conversations. And suddenly prayer has become the cynical words of a man or a woman who's disappointed with God, and they walk away. But oh, my friend, those that are running in fear or failure need those walking by faith. They need those that have been through the storm, those like you that have had experiences of suffering, loss, traumatic situations, relationship conflicts, storms of life that you've been through, severe storms that you've survived, and you've watched the reconstruction of relationships that looked as though they could never be repaired. You've seen the rebuilding of character in men or women that you thought, once they had fallen from a certain grace, they would never be able to recover. And yet they did so, and today they have a tremendous testimony. Oh, my friend, how many are suffering in the loneliness and the destructive shadows of shame in their own life, feeling as though that they have no real purpose in life and they're just wandering around because of all of the things that are happening on the shallow surfaces of life. And that which would be hidden in the heart has been long forgotten. But oh, if they could dig again, if they could find the depths of consecration and conviction, if they could pray just a little while, falling upon their faces before the Lord, if just a little ounce of humility could be added to all of the pride that has been built up and caused corrosion in their life, suddenly things would begin to change, and maybe some of the principles and the passions for God that have been forgotten, hidden in the heart, would be realized again. Again, like somebody going down into the basement or the cellar of a home and rummaging around in the old boxes and finding some nostalgic piece of furniture, or maybe it's an old baseball mitt or something that causes a memory, a nostalgic thought, a smile to the face or a tear to the eye of a beautiful experience in the past. And then conjuring up out of all of that is the remembrance of what somebody taught them, what some mentor put into them, one word or a proverb that was spoken, and maybe it's just enough to help them get a hold of the steering wheel of their life and keep from veering off the road into places of self-destruction. And maybe it would cause them to turn around and have a moment of repentance, just that one moment of finding that peace hidden in the heart, that peace that passes all understanding, remembering a prayer that was prayed as a child, and it comes back again to the lips in a desperate moment. Oh, my friend, hidden in the heart, secrets in the chambers, wonderful treasures that are hidden. Don't forget them. Find them again. Let God bring them back to your lips of prayer again. And my friend, when you find that spiritual endurance hidden in your heart, you begin to realize that you can't let yesterday's memory become tomorrow's expectation. Walk with God. Let your relationship rise up out of the ashes, the fragments, the failures, the mistakes, the ill-gotten choices. Oh, the rewards of things that you didn't expect and the bitter ends of certain relationships. But rise up out of it and remember that the next step you take is the best one to take. And that when you begin to walk down that path with God, knowing that you've shunned the counsel of the ungodly, knowing that you've rejected the way of the sinner, knowing that you've turned your back on sitting in the seat of the scornful, because you're going to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, you're going to let the light of His word lead you, you're going to let that thunder of that heart within you, hidden in the deep places of consecration and love for the things of God, you're going to realize that mistakes are going to be made, but that mercy is the ocean where mistakes are laid to rest. You're going to realize that it's better to be in the flow of the river of the Holy Ghost and that relationship with God, because that flow of the river cannot be hindered by the flaw of religion. One has the power of God, and the other has the preference of man. And that's why Jesus said, "Out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water." It's a river that flows out of the innermost being. It comes out of the center of the soul, if you will. Oh, my friend, today, if you're struggling about what to do next, if you're struggling about particular decisions in your life, if you feel like you're at the proverbial crossroads and you don't know what to do, shrugging your shoulders and putting your face in your hands and shedding tears, oh, I tell you today, I believe that hidden in your heart is an old word, old prophecy, a forgotten promise, a dream whose ambition has lost its fuel. It's evaporated over time because of circumstances and places where you have fallen, or maybe places where you've lost sight of who you are in the mirror of God's word. But don't let blame come in. Lord, I pray right now for somebody listening to this message. I pray for hope to get a hold of their heart. I pray, oh God, that somehow they'll walk down the staircase of belief again and remember the things that have been stored long ago from childhood, from years past, from experiences that you've brought them through, moments that you've helped them to recover, moments that you've helped them to get back up and stand where they had fallen, moments where they were a voice of hope to someone else that was hurting. And maybe they're hurting today, looking for a comforter, looking for somebody who'll speak a word of grace in the middle of their grief, looking for somebody today that, instead of pouring salt on the wound, would bring them the balm of Gilead, instead of somebody that would have a prosecutor's tone, oh, it would be an advocate's voice, and a compassion would be heard. And hidden in their heart today would be found that treasure, that revelation of the work of God in their life. For it is by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Help somebody today to find that gift through an Acts 2:38 experience. Help somebody today to walk away from the flaws of a world that is built on materialism and manipulation. Let them find the true message of hope today and the power of God's word, in Jesus' name.
I don't have no doubt. I don't have This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.